We open our Bibles tonight to John 14. John 14. And we are going to read together the first 21 verses of this chapter. John 14. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else believe me for the very works' sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. This far we read the Word of God tonight. Our text is found in verses 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. For centuries, God's people have derived a tremendous amount of comfort from these words that Jesus spoke to his disciples in the upper room. And that because they are filled with tenderness, care, and assurance. Jesus speaks of the future hope that is there for the disciples as well as there for the entire Church of Jesus Christ of all ages. How often it is, beloved saints, that you and I emphasize the death and then with that at times too the resurrection of Jesus. And surely that must be done. It is through Christ's death, after all, that salvation has freely been earned for you and me. There he justified us. There he sanctified us at the cross. It is through Christ's resurrection that you and I have been given a new life, a resurrection life, and the hope of our final resurrection. So we see some very significant benefits for us in the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But we ought never to view only a part of that work of Jesus Christ, while rather quickly skimming over other aspects of that work that he has done for us. All the steps of Christ's humiliation and of Christ's exaltation must be seen as one complete whole that together effect for you and me our salvation. And for that reason, we must find comfort also in the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven. There are several different benefits that we derive from Christ's ascension. One benefit is that Christ now appears as our advocate and our intercessor in the presence of God that took place when he ascended into heaven. Another is that since our Lord now and the head of our body is in heaven, then that's where our thoughts and our desires lie as well. Because where our head is, that is where the rest of the body desires to be. But a third benefit of Christ's ascension is given to us in the passage that we consider tonight. Christ is not simply sitting in heaven right now and doing nothing at all, just simply waiting around there in heaven for the end of time to come. Christ, while in heaven, is very busy. And one such work that Christ performs for us there is that he prepares a place for each one of us in heaven. And when the time comes, he returns to the earth and takes us up to be where he is, and he receives us unto himself. When we as God's people view death, therefore, from the point of view of Christ's ascension into heaven, you and I are given great assurance and great comfort by the words of Christ here. It's evident from verse 1 of this chapter that Jesus' disciples were very troubled in heart, sorely troubled. Their hearts were very heavy and overwhelmed. After all, the Jews, the wicked Jews in Jerusalem, were seeking the life of Jesus Christ. They had done that in the past, but now they were actively out to kill Jesus. And now where were they sitting during this Passover feast? Right there in the heart of the city of Jerusalem, where all of Jesus' enemies lay. And now Jesus at this Last Supper tells them this: "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me, and as I said to the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say to you." Jesus was virtually at this point saying goodbye to his disciples. Have you ever had a loved one say goodbye to you just prior to them dying? If so, then perhaps we can understand why the hearts of the disciples were so overwhelmed with grief at this particular time. And the same comfort that Jesus now, in the words of our text, spoke to his disciples is what he imparts to you and me in the Church of Jesus Christ today. So we consider the passage that we have us before us tonight under the theme, "Gone to Prepare a Place." Gone to prepare a place. In the first place, we want to consider what, that is the meaning of that. Secondly, where, and then finally, why. Jesus, in the verses that we consider, is definitely telling his disciples that he's going away. We read in verse 2, "I go." Or again in verse 3, "If I go, I will come again." And that conditional phrase there in verse 3 of our text, "if I go," does not mean, well, maybe there's a possibility that I'm going to die. But out of the original Greek would probably be better translated in this way: if I go, and I surely am going, I will come to you again. Jesus, therefore, does not mince words with his disciples in the passage that we have before us. I am going away. I'm going to die. Neither did he leave them in doubt as to where he was going when he was going to die. He was going to his Father's house. There could be no doubt in the disciples' minds and hearts then that Christ was leaving this earth in order to go to heaven. He was departing from the realm of this earthly to the realm of the heavenly. The question is, of course, how is Jesus going to do this? The only way to depart from this realm and into heaven is through death. How was Jesus now going to meet his death? We know, of course, that Jesus had to follow in the deepest way of humiliation. The disciples were just starting to find this out themselves. Christ must carry the curse of his people to the cross and there suffer the full fury of God's wrath against our sins. That's what Christ was going to do now. He must die the eternal death, suffering the extreme agonies of hell in order that he might deliver us from our guilt and therefore deliver you and me from the clutches of hell. Christ had to die. Christ had to suffer physically as well as a spiritual death, and that for the salvation of his people. That meant, therefore, that all the earthly relationships that Christ had now established with his own loved ones, but especially with these faithful disciples who had followed him about during his entire earthly ministry, all of those relationships were going to be severed. They were going to be broken. And they would see Jesus no more. So their hearts were overwhelmed, and Jesus had to speak to them some beautiful words of comfort. If anyone could describe heaven for you and me, Jesus could. We ought not to forget, beloved saints, that Jesus in his person is the Son of God. And as the Son of God, Christ was eternally present not only on earth as our divine human mediator, but in heaven at that time too. So Christ could give his disciples a first-hand experience of what heaven is all about. He had an inside view of heaven. And for that reason, I think it is worthy of note that of all the ways that Jesus could have described heaven to his disciples and to you and to me, he chooses the figure of this verse. Heaven is our Father's house. By referring to heaven using such terms, Jesus makes something which is far beyond our human understanding, very concrete and very earthy, so that you and I can understand what heaven is all about. What better way to think of heaven than the house of our Heavenly Father? And that is true, of course, unless we in some way have not experienced in our own childhood and in our own homes in the past the warmth and the safety, the haven of rest that an earthly house offers us. Let me explain. I think that it's safe to assume, anyway, that when a young couple is first married, then the first thing that they want to do is to buy a house. And if they can't afford a house, then they settle for an apartment or perhaps living with parents. But they scratch and they scrounge their money, putting it in together and saving that money so that, well, they can go and buy a house. Their desire is to acquire that house so that they might begin to live together there and to raise their family together there in that house. And be that house a beautiful mansion or just a small house with a bedroom or two, Whether that house be so humble, there is no place like home. From that point of view, when Jesus describes heaven as Father's house, then he is very earthy, very warm in the way he describes for us what really is the child of God, because we're God's children. What is the chief desire of the child of God, his goal in life? That is, a spiritual house and a spiritual home. The scriptures speak of our desire for heaven and its glory. It does that in many different places. One such description is given us in the last verse of the Shepherd's Psalm, Psalm 23. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Certainly the saying is true. Even from a spiritual point of view, there is no place like home. And yet we must understand, I think, the real beauty and the real reality of heaven. A house is simply a building. That's all. It has no magical ability in itself to create warmth and security, so that the real beauty, the real safety and security of a house is not found in its ceilings and walls and floors. A house can be elaborately decorated. It can be a huge mansion with beautiful furniture, wonderful tapestries hanging by the windows, beautiful paintings on the wall, expensive vases sitting on the end tables in the living room, and so on, so that when a person walks into the house, he can go, "Ooh, this is beautiful." And yet the safety and the warmth and the beauty, the real beauty of that house, isn't in all of these things. It can be empty and cold, even if it is decorated in such a way. What actually lends to a house its beauty and its security is that father and mother are there. The real beauty of a house is found in those who establish that home and that family. All these things of the world can adorn a house, but a child finds his safety and his happiness and joy in the fact that he's living with mother and father. So we have a description of heaven given by Jesus. It's not just the house. It's our Father's house, our Heavenly Father's house. And therefore, the real beauty of that heavenly home of our God is our Father is there in all of His splendor, in all of His effulgence. God is there and He fills heaven. He's the light of heaven together with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what makes heaven so beautiful. In the true sense of the word, this is what makes it a place of comfort and ease, a place of rest. That's what makes it a place of security, being held there in the arms of Father in heaven. That's what makes it a place of safety. Why does that lend such warmth and safety and security and beauty to that house in heaven? Because that Father is the one who has loved us from all eternity as His children. With a love so great, a love so unchangeable, that He sent His only begotten Son into this world and poured out on Him all of His wrath that you and I deserved. Here is the God in heaven who has removed our guilty stains. The one who has spread his robes in order to cover our nakedness and our shame. The robes of Christ's righteousness by which you and I have been justified in his sight. He soothes the pain of our sin-weary souls. That God is for us. Nothing can be against us, and nothing will ever separate us from his love. That God will turn even the evils of this present life to our profit. He is our Father, the one who will never leave us alone, the one whose ear is always open unto our prayers and our cries. There's safety and security. There's warmth, there's comfort when we are held in the almighty arms of our Heavenly Father. Knowing that of our Father, we desire nothing more, therefore, to dwell together with him in heaven. As David writes rather beautifully in Psalm 27, verse 5, in the time of trouble, God shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle, his dwelling place, shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. That's our Father in heaven. Now, I realize, people of God, that this might be a way of an aside, maybe a particular application of the Word of God that we have before us tonight. Even though we realize that the benefit of Christ's ascension is on the foreground here in this passage of God's Word, but you can't overlook the fact, can you? That God is a prime example to us as parents. If we want our children truly to appreciate what this Word of God tells us here about our Father's house of many mansions, then you and I, as husband and wife and as parents, have to establish a home where that's true. Where our children find peace and safety and joy and happiness there in the house, together with father and mother. And father and mother can be gone all the time. They can work their fingers to the bone so that they could put all kinds of fancy decorations in that house, but then never be there for their children. And then the home becomes cold and empty. We want our children to have a real taste of what we're talking about here tonight, about Father's house. And that's the kind of home that we want to give our children so that they might know that and experience that in a real way, and they might know exactly what Jesus is telling his disciples here at this point. The full beauty of this passage cannot be comprehended if we do not have a house where father and mother are present and establish a home and a family. Now Jesus goes on to describe this house of our Father. He says, in our Father's house, or in my Father's house, are many mansions. Or literally, that word mansion is dwelling places. There's a lot of places to stay in my Father's house where I'm going. Perhaps it would be more understandable to us if we translated this word mansions as rooms. In Father's house, there are many places to dwell. There are many rooms. And here, once again, we are given a concrete picture of what heaven is all about. It is a heavenly house which has many different rooms to it. And certainly we can relate to that too, can't we? How often it is, especially as we get into our teenage years, and we really want a room of our own. a room with nobody else in it, where we can keep all of our stuff without anybody else interfering with it. A room where if mom and dad come and they want to talk, then they're talking exclusively with me, with all the other kids in other rooms, just me, so that I can dwell in direct fellowship with my mother and my father there. That room is a place that a lot of times we can flee when the storms of life are bothering us. And it's there in that room that we can shut the door and we can enter into prayer with God without being disturbed by anybody else. We like that room, our own room, if we can have it. Well, in God's house in heaven, there is a room for every one of his children. For every one of them. They have their own room. There are a definite amount of rooms in that mansion, even though we don't know how many rooms there are. Just because Christ said in that house are many mansions, he's not saying, well, we don't know how many rooms there are in that house, and who knows how many of them might be left unfilled. No. There are a definite amount of rooms in that house. There are many rooms because God has many children that he has chosen from eternity and saved in Jesus Christ. But you can be sure that at the end of time, when Jesus Christ comes again, every room of that house, every room, we'll all have our own room. Not one of God's people will be overlooked. That to me is of utmost comfort and beauty, especially, you know, when I struggle in my own life, when I struggle with my own sin, or when we struggle with our own hurts, when we struggle with sickness, or with disease, or with death itself. God has a room for me. I know he does. It's in that heavenly house. It's there. I know that room is there. It's mine. And that room he will provide for me in due time when he takes me from this life and into heavenly glory. We will dwell with God in that room. And when we are in that room, we will share in the closest of relationships with our Heavenly Father and fellowship with him there. To all eternity, he will whisper in our ears the secret of his covenant and of his fellowship. That's the purpose of God's house. To share in fellowship perfectly with you and me unto all eternity. That's really, in essence, the very purpose of God in our salvation, after all. Jesus doesn't want us to be troubled in this life with all of the cares and the burdens that we have before us. He says, you don't have to be troubled. In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and they're waiting for you. They're waiting for you. Be comforted with that. And bear in mind that someday you will share in perfect covenant fellowship with God there. No sin to mar that fellowship. You'll dwell with your heavenly Father there in heaven. After all, that's what God's covenant is, right? I mean, it's his fellowship of friendship and love that he establishes with you and me in Christ Jesus our Lord. And there's no doubt about it that that's going to be the highest degree of fellowship in Father's house. We're not there yet. That's our long home, the psalmist calls it. Our long home, that is, a home that's still yet far away that we're looking for. You know, there's no doubt about it. When Adam and Eve were in paradise, they had a very close relationship with God because he walked and talked with them in the garden, but only in an earthly way. There's no doubt about it that the nation of Israel had a very close relationship with God because God, after all, came down in all of his glory and dwelt in that Holy of Holies there in the tabernacle and later on in Solomon's temple. and right there in the midst of the whole nation, so that God, in a very real sense, dwelt among his people. They had fellowship with that God, but only in an earthly way. We take a look at the disciples and we say, wow, now if there was anyone that experienced fellowship with God, they did, because the very person of God came down in the likeness of human flesh and dwelt among men and walked together with them. And they fellowshipped with Jesus Christ. You and I have fellowship with God today, because Jesus Christ has sent forth his Spirit, and he has come by means of that Spirit, and he dwells within our hearts, so that we have fellowship with God right from within. We share in fellowship. But all of these, you see, are in an earthly way. All that points you and me to the fact that one day we're going to enter into Father's house, and we're going to occupy a room there, and we're going to share in perfect fellowship with that God, and that unto all eternity. Not in a temporary way or a temporal way, eternal. And that will be accomplished in the house of God. Jesus draws attention to the importance of all this when in our text he speaks of preparing a place for us in Father's house. You see, all the work Christ performed in his humiliation and exaltation, he has performed exactly for that end. All of the work that Christ performed on the cross, he performed exactly for that end. By means of his death, Christ removed the barrier of sin that alienated you and me from God and his fellowship. Man, having fallen into sin, was alienated from God. He had to be reconciled to God. Well, Jesus Christ did that through his death on the cross. He paid the price for our sins, and by doing so, he brought us back to God and reconciled us to God so that we ultimately could share in this heavenly fellowship with God in his house. By means of his resurrection, he gave to you and me a life, a spiritual life that we had lost. He works in us his resurrection life, a life that you and I will fully understand and share in when we enter into Father's house of many mansions. But through Christ's ascension into heaven, he now has received the power unto that heavenly life in God's home. That's where Christ has attained now. That's where he is. He is in Father's house. And so important is it that he occupies that place in Father's house as our elder brother, that you and I cannot possibly understand the fellowship that we're going to have with God apart from Christ's ascension into heaven. Right now, Christ is preparing for you and me a room in heaven. As we said, you're not just sitting back in some chair, twiddling his thumbs, waiting for the end of time when he can return. Christ, right now, prepares for each one of his children a room. And he does that in particular ways. He does that, number one, by means of interceding with the Father on our behalf. He's our intercessor in heaven. So he sits there at God's right hand and he takes the prayers that we offer unto God, cleanses them in his blood so that God will hear our prayers. And then he himself prays on our behalf. That's a way, you see, that Christ is right now preparing a place in heaven for us. Furthermore, Jesus Christ prepares a place in heaven for us here below. He leads us, and he shapes and he molds us through every circumstance of life through which he's leading us, and every circumstance is different, isn't it? For every one of his children, every circumstance is a little bit different, but he's leading us through all of these circumstances of life in order to shape and mold you and me for our place in heaven. We are his precious jewels, but we're jewels in the rough. And God needs to use afflictions, adverse situations in life, to take a laser to you and me, so that when we reach heaven, we're those perfect, beautiful jewels that will enter into Father's house. And at the very moment that my room is ready, you won't see me anymore here on earth. And when your room is ready, I won't see you anymore here on earth. Sad? Yeah, the disciples were sad. But really, think about that. At that very moment that our room is ready, Christ reaches down. Now, Christ sends his angels, and those angels come, and they carry us up immediately into that beautiful room in Father's house, where there is safety and security and joy and happiness forevermore. Really? Death for the child of God has no sting. It has no power to it. It's just an instantaneous entering into that room in Father's house. How beautiful. Finally have my own room. Room all my own, where my Father will speak to me the words of life. This house of our Father is also a place of rest and comfort for you and me. As long as we live in this present world, we still make our journey, beloved saints. We are strangers. We are pilgrims in this life, only passing through. Our destination, don't you ever forget it. Our destination is heaven. That's our home. That's our perfect home with Father there. In this life, we're weary. In this life, we labor hard and long. In this life, we struggle so hard against our own sins and our own weaknesses. Do I fear death? Not really. Because when I die, Jesus says to me, "If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." And we will be comforted there in the presence of our Savior and of our Father. And neither does it end there. But even after we reach heaven at the time of our deaths, you and I will enter into our room. We're going to see all kinds of empty rooms yet in Father's house. And we well know that a house that a family just isn't complete unless all our siblings are there with us. We may want our own room, but we definitely want our siblings around us. Those rooms are empty yet. One by one, we start seeing them getting filled. And yet it won't be until the end of time, when Jesus Christ returns again on the clouds of heaven, that every room of that house is going to be filled with a brother and a sister in the Lord. There we will be, the whole family of God. And then we're going to gather around the table of our Father. I don't know how that's going to take place, because there's sure going to be an innumerable throng of saints in heaven. But we're all going to gather around that table of our God, and we're going to have supper with God. Yeah, sitting around the table, huh? The place where we have all our arguments and all our fun with one another. It's where we talk together, laugh together. We're going to sit around that table with all of our spiritual siblings, and we're going to have supper with the whole family of God. And then we're all going to sing a new song to Jehovah. Whew. Can you imagine the sound of all of the voices of God's saints blending together in heaven in Father's house in that great hall, singing unto our Father and unto the Lamb? Our hearts will swell with his praises. And it's at that time that we will say, with all peace and rest of heart and soul, it's good to be home. Amen. Our Father and our God in heaven, we thank thee that thou hast given us thy word, a word of great comfort to us. We pray that that word also might find a ready entrance into our hearts, so that we might truly long for and look for our place in heaven. What a beautiful home awaits us there, where thou art and where thy Son is. And although we are called upon to walk through this life in faith, may we always set our sights beyond the things of this life to heaven. We thank thee for the ascension of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Father, go with us now in this week to come to watch over us and to keep us in all that we do. And hear our prayer. For Christ's sake alone we ask it. Amen.